Today's daf is daf Tevav. We're going to start at the top of Tevav, Amud Aleph, at the two dots. Okay, about six lines down. We just to review, we looked in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there is a difference between this. There's two issues in the Mishnah. One is makom, one is dependent on minhag makom, which is the issue, and that's what we dealt with yesterday in the Gemara about selling a behemah dakar to an ove kochavim. And there, it depends whether the custom in your place is to sell or not to sell. And the concern there is that maybe the Ovei Kochavim will have sexual relations with the animal. And therefore, in a place where they're suspect, we'll treat it that way. In a case where they're not suspect, we won't treat it that way. And then we brought up this issue of the Braita that says you can't put up a behema and put a ka'ochel of Ovei Kochavim. And then we said that there's a difference between that and our case. In the end, even Rav, who didn't think there was a difference, in the end agreed that there, it's across the board, because there's more of a chashash, whereas in buying it, there's less of a chashash that they're going to actually have sexual relations with the animal, because they're worried that they might cause the animal to become sterile if they have sexual relations with it. I didn't check whether that's actually, in fact, true. Caused it, I don't know, but there was that assumption. Okay, that was the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah was, Eim ochrim behema gasa. You can't sell large animals or agalimus yachim, okay, or calves or baby donkeys. What are they called? Baby donkeys, I don't know the word. Anyway, you can't sell them to non-Jews, and we're going to get to the whole issue as to why exactly this is a problem. Okay, so we're starting with that. My time. Nihid de revia lo cheshinan. Okay, we just said that, right, we're not choshesh for revia. Why are we not choshesh for revia, for sexual relations? Because they're buying it. We just said a minute, you know, the end of the previous sugya, that we're not concerned that they're going to have sexual relations with animals that they purchase. And therefore, ma'avi be malacha chayshina, right? It must be that we're worried they're going to do malacha with it. But that doesn't make any sense. V'na'avi, what do we care if they do malacha with it? What would be the issue of them doing malacha? The issue would be that a Jew is commanded also on Shvitat Behemto, the animal, right? We say it in Kiddush, Behemticha, right? Everybody has to rest, even your animals. And since the animals have to rest on Shabbat, you can't sell your animal because you'll end up, your animal will work on Shabbat. Doesn't it's make so much sense, animal. Though. It's not your animal. Exactly. So the Gemara says, V'navid, Kevin Dizabne, Kanya. So what? Let the animal work on Shabbat. Once you sell it, it's no longer yours. So what's the issue? So now the answer, gzera mishum she'ela umishum schirut. We're worried that if we allow you to sell animals to non-Jews, you'll also come to rent animals and loan animals to non-Jews. Now, if you rent or loan the animal to a non-Jew, then it's still your animal, and your animal is going to end up doing malacha on Shabbat. To that, the Gemara says, but she'ela kanya, va'agra kanya. But while your animal is rented out or loaned out to this person, it's basically theirs. So therefore, that shouldn't matter. Your animal should not have an issue with doing malacha on Shabbat. Hold off on this because we're going to come back to it and reject this and eventually reinstate this reason. Okay, so right now we're saying it's gzer mishum sheila umishum schirut, but the Gemara rejects it because the Gemara says sheila schirut. Okay? That you are acquiring it for all those intents and purposes, and therefore, you know, at least to a certain extent, it becomes theirs. And therefore, if they do malacha with it on Shabbos, it shouldn't matter. In which case, of course, we're not going to be goes around selling the animal, who for sure is kone, if Shailen's through is going to be okay also. So therefore, the Gemara suggests a second reason. Okay, it's interesting. Usually the Gemara has an answer, rejects it, and then if they want to reject the rejection, they'll do it right then. In this case, they move on to a second reason, and they're only going to come back to it later. Ela amirami berei derakiva, gzera mishum nisione. We're worried, okay, when you go to buy a car, what do? You test drive the car. So we're worried that you're going to test drive the animal. What does this mean? The animal was generally used to carry loads. So the guy's going to go buy your animal, and he's going to put a load on it and see how the animal, you know, how he performs to see if he wants to buy the animal. So we're worried that's nisyoni. He's going to test it out. He's going to test drive, test walk the animal. So why does this cause a problem? Sometimes you might be selling the animal samuch l'shtiyat hachama d'male shabta. Okay, you might end up selling this animal right before Shabbat. Now, this seems like a strange chashash. How many people are doing business right before Shabbat?
Well, you could also be doing it on Shabbat and not make a global problem of selling them at all, if that was...
Say that again?
If the issue of potential of selling a large animal is because you might do it close to Shabbat, then say you can't sell it on Fridays the same way you can't sell it on their holidays.
You don't need to forbid it all the time. Right. Well, I think in the end they do accept this reason, but I think in the end that's why the order is like this, where once they have this reason, they realize this reason isn't the most convincing reason, and then they go back and reinstate the first reason. So I think that's why the order is the way it is. It's not the most convincing answer. However, the Gemara does say this is an answer, but let's see what the issue is. So you might do it samuch l'shkiyat hachama, still, what's the issue? You're still going to sell it to the guy, and it's still going to be his on Shabbat. But what might happen? As you're selling it on Erev Shabbat, Amar Leh, Tan Nasiyeh Nihaleh, so the guy will say, let's try it out first, and already it will be Shabbat at that point. V'shamaleh l'kaleh v'azla machamateh. So what's going to happen now? The animal is going to hear the voice of its owner. What gets the animal to move? A familiar voice telling him to move. So he might hear the voice of its owner, and that's why he's going to move. V'nichale detizal. And you might say, well, you know, the guy didn't intend for that to happen. And, you know, it's not nichale. But then they say, what do you mean? Of course it's nichale. It is, right? This is an issue of Shabbat, right? It has to be good for you. Like watering, right? If you wash your hands over the grass. So, of course, it's... Right, it's psik reisha, it happens anyway. You didn't intend for that to happen, but it's psik reisha, it's happening anyway, and it's nichale, and it's good for you, because your grass is getting watered. So therefore it's aser. So here also, nichale detizal, why is it good for him? Because then the guy will buy the animal. It's a bit of a debate here about how either the animal was purchased or wasn't purchased, and when exactly is he test driving it, but anyway, we'll leave that aside right now. And then he will be basically causing his animal to be led on Shabbat. And it's Asur Midrabanan to do this. Okay, I'm sorry, it's not Asur Midrabanan. It's Chayav Chatat. You did it B'shogeg, but even if you do something B'shogeg, you're Chayav Korban Chatat. In other words, it's a malacha. Okay, so you're basically, we're concerned that if you sell the animal, okay, it has nothing to do with renting or, right? We're worried if you sell the animal, it might end up happening right before Shabbat. And therefore, you could say we're going to forbid it all the days because just if we don't forbid it all the days, well, then you might come to have a situation where you'd sell it before Shabbat. And then you might say, well, nobody would ever really think that, oh, is this going to be an issue? So maybe that's why they wouldn't say just on Friday it's Usher. But they'd be worried that people wouldn't realize it's an issue. They'd sell the animal right before Shabbat. They'd be talking, and the animal would hear the owner talking and would end up moving on account of the owner. And therefore, he'd be causing the animal to move on Shabbat. And the assumption is probably that the sale wasn't final yet, so it was, in the end, his animal, even though, right, he didn't finish the sale. Okay, so that's the second reason. Now we go back, like I said, probably because this reason is a kind of strange reason, we're now going to reject the rejection to the first reason. So what did we say then? That Sheilan Schirut is Kone. That if the non-Jew rents or borrows your animal and works on Yom Shabbat, it shouldn't be a problem because the animal belongs to them. So now, Mat Kifla Rav Shisha Bereder Rav Idi. Uschirut Mikanya. When you're socher something, is really when you rent out something, is the person really kone the item? Kahatnan. Af b'makom she'amru lahaskir. Okay, really interesting halacha. We're going to delve into this much more when we get there on Daf Kaf Aleph. Okay, we'll see. Is this really an issue? Okay, I'll already preface it a little bit. I'll give you a little bit of a hint so that you don't sit in suspense, or you might not get into a situation in the next 5 days that might be relevant. Af b'makom she'amru lahaskir, when they allowed you to rent out stuff to non-Jews, to Ovdei Kochavim, lo lebeiti ramru, mipnei shemachnis l'tocho avodat kochavim. What does it say here? You could rent out items to non-Jews, we could call them Ovdei Kochavim, but we can't rent out place for housing, because there was a concern if you rent out your house, your apartment, any kind of area like that where he would use to, for living purposes, it's forbidden because they might put psalim there. Okay? So now the obvious question will be, and if schirut is kone, right? So what does it matter that he puts his avodah zarah there, right? Haiki kama ayah, lebeite kama ayah, right? So when he puts his stuff there, so then what's the big deal? Okay, where does this come from? It comes from the pasuk. Now I'm forgetting the pasuk. It's eluding me. 1 minute. Yeah, lo tavito eva el beitecha. Okay, you're not allowed to bring a toeva into your house, and therefore by renting to an Ovei Kochavim who might bring Psalim into the house, that's basically causing Avodah Zarah to come into your house. And therefore, what do they say? You cannot rent out. So what do you see here? Renting out is not kone. We said before, Shelan Zchirut was kone, and you see from here, it's not kone because it's forbidden to rent out your property to an Ovei Kochavim.
And they're not differentiated between Metaltalin and not Metaltalin.
Well, they seem to be, because they're basically saying things that are
Metaltalin, yeah. Seem to be.
Metaltalin is okay to rent out. But, in other words, it's okay to rent out metaltalin and things like that, but that's because we're not worried they're going to bring their psalim into the property. But if they would, it would be a problem. In other words, they're not answering that, let's distinguish, because the distinction is already made there, that when it's your property, and there's...
No, I thought they were implying right. That when it's metaltalin, he's kone, when it's...
No.
When it's...
Right, they're not distinguishing there, no. Okay? So now we're basically going to say... So first of all, it's a very interesting issue. Are you really not allowed to rent out your property to someone who might put a pesel in the house? Okay? So hold off 5 days, we'll get there, or 6 days. We'll get there and we'll discuss all the heterim that came up along the way, how they try to be matir this issue. Okay, so now they say, what do you see from the source? That schirut is not kone, because lo tavito eva al beitecha, it's still considered beitecha. So now the Gemara answers, shane avodah kochavim dechamire dechtiv lo tavito eva al beitecha. We're more machmir, in other words, now we're going to say like this. It's not, it really is Schirut and Shelah is Kone. However, because of this Isser D'Oraita of Lo Tavito Eval Beitecha, for all intents and purposes, we're going to call it Beitecha if someone's going to bring Psalim there. Okay? However, it really is theirs. Right? For the time that they're renting, it belongs to them. It's just that, you know, you can imagine a situation where someone goes to rent out their house to... I can't even think of a situation. There was someone I know who rented a house in Ranana, and they were told that the owner didn't want them to let anyone non-religious come into their house. Okay? Now, this is a little extreme. They said, while you're staying in, right, while you're renting our property, even though the house was entirely theirs during the rental period... In the end, they said, look, we really can't do that. Most of our relatives are not religious, and there's no way we can not bring non-religious people into our house. And somehow they worked it out, or the owner just kind of closed his eyes to it. But the owner said, this is my house. I don't want non-religious people in my house. Yeah, quite harsh. Quite difficult. I remember she was talking to me about it at the time. You know, what am I supposed to do? Anyway, but what they're trying to say is like this. The house is really not your house anymore. You're renting it out to someone. It's not yours. But people have a certain, you know, when it comes to Avodah Zarah going into your house, you know, let's draw the line there. Ag Khan, okay? Even though it really isn't your house. So now we're going to look at the opposite perspective. So at this point, what are we assuming? The Tzchirut is Kone, okay? But now he's going to say the opposite. Uschirut mikanya, is schirut really kone? We have a different source that shows that schirut isn't really kone. And here, maybe this is like what you were saying, Naomi, that was a, you know, the Gemara doesn't exactly distinguish karka metaltalin, but so that was karka. Now we're going to talk about animals. That's none. Yisrael shesachar parami kohen. If a regular Yisrael, rents a para from a kohen, Yachilena karshine truma. The animals of the kohen are allowed to eat truma because the animal that's basically what the kohen has is truma. Let's say you're a Yisrael, you take your truma to Masrot, lo and behold, if you rent a para from a Kohen, you're allowed to feed him little, right, karshine is called vetch, at least one of the interpretations I saw. You can feed him karshinim of truma, okay? You can feed him stuff from your truma that you're supposed to give to the Kohen. You can feed it to the animal. So what do you see here, right? That the animal still belongs to the Kohen. It's not niknet to the Yisrael. And likewise, a Kohen shesachar parah miYisrael, af al pishem mezonoteh alav, even though he's responsible, this is a really harsh halacha. A Kohen rents a parah from a Yisrael, even though he's responsible to feed the animal, lo yachilenu karshinei truma, because the animal is still considered belonging to the Yisrael. So here you see, Sfirut isn't Kohen. Right, the para is his, so it doesn't make any sense. Ela shmamina schirut lo kanya. So what do we see from here? That schirut is in kone. So we see here that schirut, right, it's not kone. Vahashta da amar schirut lo kanya. Gzera mishum schirut ugzera mishum sheela ugzera mishum nisyone. So now we've proven what? We've proven that schirut's lo kone, right? From all the perspectives. We've shown schirut is not kone, right? Even in the, in the house, we concluded that, first we concluded with the house that it is kone, right? In the first case, let's organize it. First we tried to knock out, right? We said that schirut is kone in the first rejection of the answer. Then we tried to suggest, but maybe from the source of Avodah Zarah, you see that you can't rent to them because they'll put Avodah Zarah, so that shows that Tzchirut is in Kone, and then we said, no, it still could be Kone there. So that we rejected. But the second question that we asked shows, really, that Tzchirut is in Kone, because this animal still eats the Truma based on the original owner. So therefore, we prove that Tzchirut's not Kone, which means that we can reject the rejection of Shelan Tzchirut is Kone, and we can go back to saying that the reason why you can't sell the animal to an Oved Kochavim is Mishum She'ela, Mishum Tzchirut, and Mishum Nisyone. That's what the Gemara says now. So it's Gzer, so Hashad Amar Tzchirut Lo Kone, now that we concluded, we proved from the second source that Tzchirut isn't Kone, we can say that it's Gzer Mishum Tzchirut, Ugzer Mishum She'ela, Ugzer Mishum Nisyone. Okay? So three possible reasons, even though two are really one and the same, Mishum She'ela, Mishum Tzchirut, and Mishum Nisyone. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara here. That explains our Mishnah, why you can't sell a Behema Gasa to an Ovei Kochavim. That would be very nice, except that the sugi goes on and seems to show some situations where they did sell animals. So now we're going to have to talk about this more. Rav Ada Shari Lizvune Chamra, Aida Desafsira. Rav Ada would allow, now you have to understand, if we don't allow people to sell animals to non-Jews, it's going to create a bit of a problem. If people are doing business with animals and you're limiting them in terms of who they can sell to, especially in the time of the Amoraim where, you know, there's a lot of interactions with non-Jews. So what are you going to do? So Rav Ada says, it's mutar to do it through a middleman. Okay, you can sell it to, you can give it to a non-Jewish middleman and he can sell it for you. Why does that resolve the issue? Im mishum nisyone, halo yada lekale, da'az lemachamate. If it's mishum the test drive, so the middleman is the one doing the transaction, and if the animal hears the middleman's voice, well, that's not going to make a move because the animal doesn't have a relationship with him. The im mishum sheilah uschiut, kevan de lo didehu, lo moshil velo mogar. If the issue is we're worried you might come to rent or to loan, well, if you give your animal to a middleman to sell, he's not going to end up renting it out. Okay? Why is he not going to rent it out? And there's number one, it's not his to decide. If you give it to someone and say, go sell it, it's not up to him to decide, oh, maybe I'll rent it out. Maybe I'll lend it out. Of course, you can't do that. And also, he'll have an ulterior motive. If you hired him to sell your animal, he wants to sell your animal, right? Now, if you start lending it or renting it, what's going to happen? People are going to see all the imperfections of the animal because, right, what you don't know, so you don't know what all the moving are, but as soon as you get it, right, imagine you buy a used car, right? Halavai, when we went to go buy used cars, we'd be able to drive the car for a few days till we figure out what all the imperfections of the car are. Okay, so therefore, we're a house. I was just hearing from someone yesterday about this house, and you know, it's this beautiful house, and they're having a lot of problems with it. They had no idea when they bought the house that it had all these issues. So it's very common. So what does he say? I don't want to rent it out. I don't want to loan it out. And then they'll see all the imperfections. Nobody will want to buy it. So therefore, if you use a middleman, it's allowed. So that's heter number one. Rav Huna zavinai para la'ove kochavim. Rav Huna sold it para to an ove kochavim. Amarle Rav Safra, Rav Chista, my time aviv marhachi. So Rav Chista says, Rav Huna, how did you just sell this para to an ove kochavim? We said behemagasa para is a behemagasa. How did you do it? Amarle imor lishchita zavna. I said to myself, he's probably most likely purchasing it for shchita purposes. And if he's purposing it, right, what's the whole issue? We're worried that the animal's going to work on Shabbat. Well, if he's shechting it, then he's going to shecht it immediately, and he's not using the animal for work. So now all of a sudden we get to a second heter, which is, now here the heter is a very interesting one, because he didn't say the non-Jew told me he was buying it for shchita purposes. What did he say? Imor, I can claim that he was buying it for shchita purposes. Okay, so this is a very big heter, and it raises a lot of questions. So before we move on, I want to go into this very interesting Tosfot here that I think is really kedai to look at. So first Rashi says, Imor l'shchita zavna, v'talinam l'kula. Okay, this is what we call litzlot l'kula. We can assume, he didn't tell us otherwise, we can assume that he's buying it for shchita purposes. Now, what about the Mishnah, Rashi says, umatnitim, when the Mishnah says, it's a sewer to, what did the Mishnah say? Let's just look at it explicitly. Emochrim lem bema gasa, large animals, and agalimu siachim. So Rashi says, this clearly contradicts the Mishnah, because if it was allowed to say l'shchita, so the Mishnah would have given us that possibility. So Rashi says, Matnitin bebehemat me'a. It's a behemat me'a that presumably they weren't buying for shchita purposes, which is a little strange. I don't know why no one relates to this, but the non-Jews can also eat tame animals. I assume what they mean is an animal that wasn't generally used for shchita purposes, okay, even for non-Jews. And inami b'tehora could be an animal that would be eaten. U'b'mefarish la'ove kochavim delekiyume kai. The Mish is only talking about the second option Rashi gives. The Mish is only talking about a case where the non-Jew says, I'm buying this animal with the intent to plow my field, or with the intent, right, to use the animal for work purposes. That's what Rashi says. Okay? Tosfot quotes Rashi. And then, if you look five lines down from the beginning of Tosfot, Dibor Matzil Imor L'Shchita Zavna, he quotes first Rashi's interpretation, then he gives the Rashbam. The Rashbam Peresh B'Shem Rashi, interestingly, says in the name of Rashi. Dehacha davka para she'ein regilim la'asop ha'melacha. Aval shvarim she'rubam la'melacha ein mochrim. So now, Rashbam gives a different answer, and he quotes in the name of Rashi, that there's a difference between a para and a shor. The Mishnah was referring to a shor, which generally used for harisha, and the Gemara was referring here, when he sold the para, to a para. It's not the same. And what about the agalim and siachim? So they are young, and nobody, what he's going to say is, nobody would shecht those yet. Because what would you do? You wait till they got, nobody wants to shecht a small animal, you want a lot of meat. So if you would buy an egel or a siach, the assumption is you're buying them in order for them to grow and work. Okay, so therefore we're assuming that there's a difference between a para and a shor, and the agalim and siachim. But Rabbeinu Tam says, what are you talking about? First of all, we already just learned today that they used ishtachar para in Israel, right? What did it say? I think we saw it today. Anyway, there's cases where you use parot for harisha. And Rabbeinu Tam quotes a number of places where it talks about para for harisha. So why are you assuming a para doesn't work? Of course a para works. So he gives a different answer. He says the Mishnah is talking about a behemat me'a. Behemat me'a. Right, so he goes back to Rashi. He says, the Mishnah is talking about behemot me'ot, that you don't eat. And the agalim, he says, like we said before, that they're basically, you wouldn't buy them for shechting purposes. Okay, but the more interesting part of Tosfot is toward the bottom of Tosfot. Tosfot says, let's just find it. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Okay. Okay. So look about the second line when the lines get wide. Okay? Bahashta chazina at the end of the line. Delikule amma. Bein l'rashbam, bein l'rabbeinu tam. Everyone agrees that asur l'mkorlov de kochavim agalim usiyachim v'chol behemat me'ah. Right? That's the conclusion basically from everyone. The behemot me'ot, for sure you can't sell because nobody's shechting them. And little animals also. Val korchacha, and this is always Tosfot likes to bring up these interesting things. Yesh litmoa b'meha yusomchim l'mkor agalim usiyachim lovde kochavim. We see people doing this all the time. People are selling agalim usiyachim to non-Jews. So what are they relying on? V'gam misusim, and also horses, nami yesh litmoa. Even susim, now if you remember susim, what did we say? The susim don't work, they usually ride them, and riding on Shabbat is only asur midrabanan, so it's okay. But bishlamah otan sheim yuchadim ala l'rechiva, nicha. Da pasuk Rabbi Yochanan keben betera, hamatir besus. Lefisho seba malacha sheim bovi sur doraito. And then he talks about the yuchaf, we'll skip that. Aval, but then he says, me otan susim sheim yuchadim, limshoch bekaron. But the ones they use for pulling their carriages, that's work. That's malacha. That makes the animal work on Shabbat. Vegam, lifamim shavei kochavim mefaresh, shekoneu b'shvil malacha charisham, m'shichat karon. And not only that, but we see people selling them. They're selling them to non-Jews who say explicitly that they're buying them for work purposes. So how on earth could this go on? Okay, so now Tosfot brings three possible answers. And this is just, for me, I find these interesting in terms of you have an explicit halacha, and yet, just like we're going to see, I didn't have enough time to go in depth into this and into the sugi about renting out your house to a non-Jew, so we'll get to that then. Anyway, it says, number one, safsira mutar. Why do we say a safsira, middleman, is mutar? Because it doesn't recognize our voices. See, he claims that bi'ameinu, our animals, don't recognize our voices either. That's number one answer. Okay? He claims that everybody now is like a safsira, like a middleman. Number two, he says people generally don't rent them out or lend them out anymore. So because the nohag has changed, and since the gzera was mishum shelau sirut and mishum nisione, so nisione is not relevant because the animals don't recognize our voices. And I'm not sure why it's so clear the animals don't recognize their voices anymore, but that's what he claims. And nobody's really renting out or loaning, so that's not a chashash. So all the reasons for the gzera are no longer relevant. And the third answer, he says, and this is really interesting, I'm going to read it inside. He says, four lines from the bottom, Hainu davka b'yimehem, shahayu harbe yehudim b'yachad, v'im hayalo la'adam b'yema, she'eno tzarichla, hayam achra l'chavero, v'lo hayam afsida. Okay, those days there were lots of Jews. So if you wouldn't allow him to sell to the non-Jew, so we'll sell to a Jew. But nowadays, if we don't allow them, then they're not going to have anybody to sell to because there's not enough Jews in the market. Right, a financial reason. So he claims that the Gaonim that were in the Galut, where there were less Jews, basically were matir this. We're going to see later, it says that according to this, you shouldn't even be allowed to sell chitim and sorim. And the Gemara answered, efshar. People won't be able to live up to that. Okay? It's too much. So likewise, that's what we're going to say here, that they just can't handle it. And then, Tosfot quotes at the very end here, that based on that, Pasak Rabbeinu Baruch de lefize, ein lahatir ela keshekone asus lezorach atzmo, v'nimlach alav lemachro, shimloim karena yafsid. He says, Rabbeinu Baruch says, according to this reason for the heter, he says, according to that, it only works if you bought a sus and you want to sell it. But it doesn't allow lokach susim lemachram kedei laharviach, but you shouldn't do business, and maybe this is why most Jews aren't in the horse breeding business, but you shouldn't buy horses to sell because you're creating a situation, right? In other words, if you're stuck with a horse and you can't get rid of it, so we'll allow you to sell to an anju. But don't lechatchila put yourself in a situation where you're going to basically buy horses to sell and then say, well, I have no one to sell them to except for non-Jews. So he says, okay, so you shouldn't do that. So anyway, it's a very interesting, right, how it developed and how they tried to explain what happened. And what you see here also is, even though the Mishnah says it, the rabbis started doing it. They were already matir heter latzmam, and then from there grew the heter in the even more so in the time of the Geonim and Rishon. Umenat tamer damrinan ki agavna. And how do you know that we can say, let's just assume that he's buying it l'shchita, even though we don't really know, right? This issue of talina leheter. Ditznan, it says in a Mishnah, Beit Shammai Omrim, okay, this is a Mishnah in Shvi'it, about Shemitah year. Lo yimkor adam, oh, here's the one about the parah choreshet. Okay, we said before that Rabbeinu Tam quoted these about parah choreshet. Lo yimkor adam parah choreshet b'shvi'it. You're not allowed to sell to a person a parah who could be choresh on the Shemitah year, like, and there's a parah that is used for Charisha, you can't sell it to anybody on the Shemitah year, because what are we worried? It's like Lifnei Iver. You're basically selling them something that is going to then work on Shemitah, which you're not allowed to do. Ubeit Hillel mitirim, b'pnei she'echol l'shochta. Beit Hillel says you can sell him a parah choreshet because the guy can also shecht it. And you don't know what he's doing with it. That's not called Lifnei Iver. You can basically sell it to him and maybe he'll shecht it. So I'm a rabbi. So now they say, Rabbi says, no, you can't make this comparison. Mi dame. Ha tam, ein adam mitzuvah al shvitat behem to b'shvi'it. Ha cha adam mitzuvah al shvitat behem to b'shabbat. When it comes to Shemitah, so you're not commanded, you're commanded not lo lachrosh, right? You can't plow. But you're not commanded the way you are on Shabbat, that your animal has to rest on Shabbat. You're not commanded that your animal has to rest on the Shemitah year. So therefore, you can't compare selling an animal to someone who might work the animal on Shabbat versus selling the animal to someone who might work it on the Shemitah year. That's a different comparison. Ha-cha, adam mitzuvah al shvitat behem to b'shabbat. Right? But here, they are commanded on shvitat behem to. Okay. Amar le'abaye, v'chol hech adam, da'adam mitzuveh asur. Wait, are you assuming, Abaye says, anytime, according to this, so if Adam is mitzuveh not to do it, then it's asur. V'hare sadeh de'adam mitzuveh shvitat sadehu b'shvi'it. A person is commanded, okay, we said a person isn't commanded, ashvitat behem to b'shvi'it. So therefore, you can sell someone a parah choreshet in the Shemitah year, according to Beit Hillel. But what about a field? A field, it's asur to work your field, okay? So your field has to rest. And what does it say in the Mishnah? Tnan, Beit Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimkor Adam Sedet Nir B'Shvi'it. Beit Shammai says, you can't sell someone a plowed field on the Shemitah year, because we're worried someone might plant in it. Ubeit Hillel Matirim, Mepnei She'echol Lahovira. Beit Hillel says it's mutar because he could just not work it. In other words, just because you're selling it to him doesn't mean he has to work it this year. People buy for long-term investments. He'll probably plant it next year. You can assume that he can plant it next year. Now that's a case where you are chayav al shvitat sadehu, and yet we see you are allowed. So matkifla Ravashi, Ravashi questions, v'chol hecha de'ein adam mitzuve share. Wait, you want to say then that im ein adam mitzuve, then it's mutar. Hare kelim, de'ein adam mitzuve al shvitat kelim b'shvi'it. You could say the same thing. We have another question on that, because kelim, adam is not mitzuve al shvitat kelim b'shvi'it. Right, your plowshare doesn't have to rest on the Shemitah year. Vitnan, and yet it says, Elu hein kelim she'ein adam rashai l'mochram b'shvi'it. You're not allowed to sell the following items on the Shemitah year. Ha-machresha, v'chol keleha, that's the plowshare, v'chol keleha, ha'ol v'amazareh v'adekher, all the different parts of it, like the accessories that go with it, you're not allowed to sell in the Shemitah year. So what do you see? You can't even sell things that ein adam mitzuvah shvitato, right? There's no chiyuv of shvitat kelim on the Shemitah year. By the way, they're borrowing all these musagim from Shabbat, because there's an issue. Your kelim can't work on Shabbat. Your animals can't work on Shabbat. But it's not the same for Shemitah. So, El Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, I disagree with what you said until now. Okay, and therefore, what does he say? The reason why you're allowed to do it l'shchita, okay, is because kol hecha di'ika l'mitzla talinan. Even if you're mitzuveh, for example, on Shvitat Behemto, okay, on Shabbat, you're still allowed to do it. Why? Because if there's a good chance that he's going to use it for shechita, you can rely on that. In other words, it has nothing to do with, are you mitzvah shvitat b'emto, are you not mitzvah, are you mitzvah and shvitat of the field, or the kelim, or any of that. It has nothing to do with that. Rav Ashi says very simply, if there's a good chance, it basically is, what are the chances are that this person is going to do what you think they're going to do? If there's a good chance he'll shecht it, then you can do it. If there's a good chance he'll leave the field and he won't work it on the Shemitah year and he's just buying it for the long term, then you're allowed to do it. If there's not a good, right, if you're selling him tools that he's going to use on the Shemitah year, so there's probably a good chance he's going to use those tools on the Shemitah year for plowing. So that's a problem. Right? If there's not a good chance, like with the kelim, lo talin on afagav deina mitzuva, right? Even though he's not commanded on shvitat kelim, still you're not allowed to do it because you're over on lifnei iver, right? Because he might come to use it, and you're basically helping him by selling him this equipment. You're helping him to do work on the shemitah. Okay. So that's Rav Ashi's understanding. He says it depends, right? If it's he doesn't give numbers, 75% chance it's l'shrita, then you can, right? It depends on the percentages.
Again, nobody ever considers actually asking the buyer.
Right. They don't ask the buyer. But again, why are they not asking the buyer? Because they want to come up with a way lahatir without, you know.
Without the specifics.
Right. We don't want to get into specifics. We want to specifically leave it open so that we can assume the possibilities are that he's doing that and we allow it. This is a way of coming up with heterim, right? Which, again, there was obviously financial need to come up with the heterim like we saw in the Tosfot. Rabbi Zavin Ahi Chamer L'Yisrael HaChashud Limkor La'Ovei Kochavim. It's a very interesting story. Rabbi sells a chamor to Yisrael who is a person who suspect, and that's who was a person, let's just assume, who probably sold a lot of animals to non-Jews. So he sold an animal to a Jew who was going to likely sell it to a non-Jew. Amalei Abaye, Sabaye comes to Rabbah and says, "My taima avimar hachi, why did you do that?" Right? So what does he answer him? Amalei, Anali Yisrael Zavine, I sold it to a Jew. What do I care what he does with it? So Abaye says, Amalei, Baha azil umzaben leil ovei kochavim. Right? He's going to go sell it to an ovei kochavim. Lovei kochavim kamazbin, l'Yisrael lo kamazbin. In other words, he's going to definitely sell it to a non-Jew and not to a l'Yisrael. So now, ATV. Now we're going to have a question. Rabbi answers, sorry, that was Rabbi's answer. Rabbi answers, lovei kochavim kamazbin, l'Yisrael lo kamazbin. He's saying, I assume... He's got one second. It's a question. Sorry, he's saying it like this: Lo ve kochavim kamazbin l'Yisrael lo kamazbin. You're assuming he's going to sell it to a non-Jew and not a Jew. For all intents and purposes, he might sell it to a Jew, just like l'shchita, right? We can assume he's going to sell it to a Jew. So now, Rabbi is going to bring a question on him. Etive, makom shnagu limkor behemada kal kutim mochrim shelo limkor em mochrim. We're now going to see a difference between kutim and Yisrael, okay? Kutim were the Shomronim, who sort of kept mitzvah, sort of didn't. So in the place where it's the minhag to sell a be'madaka to kutim, you can sell. Shalolim kor, because they're chashed, right? What's the assumption? They're going to be chashed on revia, but maybe not. We'll see. Eimochrim. My taima. Ilam amishum de chashidei revia, like we saw in our Mishnah. Umi chashidei. But we see they're actually not suspect. How do we know the kutim aren't suspect? Because now we're going to quote another bright of Atanya. That's what we learned about, right? This is the source we quoted the other day, yesterday. You can't put up these animals in inns because there's a chashash of revia. Zcharim etzal zcharim, unikevod etzal nikevod. Ve'ein sarich lomar nikevod etzal zcharim, zcharim etzal nikevod. Okay, either of the same sex or the opposite sex, it doesn't matter. Ve'ein mosrim behema leroesh shelahem, and we don't give our animals to their roim. Okay, this is a separate issue. We don't do yichud with non-Jews because we're worried they're going to kill us. Okay, there was this concern in those days. The non-Jews were scary and, you know, like to kill us. And therefore, don't be alone with them. Okay, don't send them to school like a one-on-one. You think about this, all these educational, right, these people who are suspect of inappropriate behavior with children, teachers, right? Even Jewish teachers. And here they're saying basically, don't send a student one-on-one, right? You probably shouldn't do this with even Jewish people. You shouldn't send your tinok lamdo sefer lamdo manut, okay, because they're suspect they might do something to them. Although here it doesn't seem like it's one-on-one. It could be just even in a group because we're worried that they might do something to them. And that's, what does this show? This shows they understood that a melamed and a student is a relationship where the children could get taken advantage of. Aval ma'amidim behema bepundekaot shel kutim. But what do you see here? But you can do it with kutim. In other words, they're not chashud al revia. Scharim etzal nekevot, and kevot etzal scharim, ein tzarich lomar scharim etzal scharim, and kevot etzal nekevot, umosrim behema leror eshelem, umiyachadinim ahem, umosrim lem tinok lam do sefer lam do manut. All the things that were allowed there were not allowed with the Ovei Kochavim, were allowed with the Kutim. So what do you see? Alma lo chashide. So that's number one. So we don't understand, right? Makom shnagulim kor, why is it, right? What's the reason? We don't know. Ve'od tanya, and additionally, there's a brayta that says, Ein mochrim lehem lo zayin ve'lo kle zayin. You're not allowed to sell to non-Jews weapons. Okay, this is also another relevant issue. Can you sell weapons to non-Jews or not? Okay, that will conclude with tomorrow. Below Klei Zayin and not things that go along with the Klei Zayin, like the handle or things like that. Ve'eim ashchizin lehem et hazayin. You don't sharpen their weapons. Ve'eim machrim lehem lo sadan ve'lo koram ve'lo kvalim ve'lo shalshalaot shel barzel. All sorts of things they would chain people up with on the neck, on the legs, on the different types of implements. Echad ovei kochavim ve'echad kuti. Okay, this you can't do to an ovei kochavim or to a kuti. My taima. If you want to say, well, maybe we're worried they're going to kill us, but our kutim chashud al shvichu damim, didn't we say, ha'amarta, umiyachadim imahem, right? We allow you to be one-on-one with a kuti. So it can't be, so we've now, it can't be revia, it can't be shvichu damim. What must be the reason? Because the kutim have a lot of interactions with the non-Jews. So if we sell it to them, they might likely sell it to an Ovei Kochavim. And if you want to say, well, maybe kuti lo avid tshuva, Yisrael avid tshuva. And if you want to say, well, if you sell it to the kuti has no interest in doing tshuva and not selling to a non-Jew. But a Jew, you might sell it to him, and he might have the intent to sell to a non-Jew, but maybe he'll do tshuva in the interim and won't sell it to a non-Jew. Don't try to give me that option, because ha'amar Rav Nachman, ha'amar Rav Ravua, kederach shamru asur limkor lo'ovei kochavim, kach asur limkor li'Yisrael, ha'chashud limkor lo'ovei kochavim. And then he says to him, but I can tell you in the name of Rav Nachman, who said in the name of Rav Ravua, that just like you can't sell to a kuti who's going to sell to non-Jews, you also can't sell to a Jew who's suspect he's going to sell to non-Jews. So basically, Abai brings this whole argument to Rabbah that I don't know how you sold it to this guy who's chashud that he sells to non-Jews. And what happens at the end of the story, interesting end, right batre talta parse, Rabbah runs after him three parsa'ot to try to get the animal back because he realized he made a big mistake. Some people said he ran a parsa, right, it's a certain amount, in sand, okay, which wasn't so easy, below adrache, but he didn't catch up to him. Okay, so Rabbah basically realizes he made this mistake and he shouldn't have sold it to him, but it's kind of too late. Okay, tomorrow we'll finish up with this issue and we'll talk a little bit about the weapons, okay, because we'll see at the very end of the sugya, there's some out for heter, and on that they rely on certain situations where one is allowed to sell to weapons to non-Jews. But it's also very interesting, right? Interesting about selling weapons to terrorists, and you know, which obviously we don't recommend. But that's also a good relevant question nowadays.